Book of Judges, chapter 8, verse number 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. Did you get that last part? Faint, yet pursuing them. Amen. Amen. That's what I won't preach on just a little while tonight, if we could. Simply faint, yet pursuing them. Amen. Backing up in chapter number 7, we can find, Connie, the background of this story. We find that Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early. The Bible said, and pitched beside the well of Herod. But the Midianites were on the other side. They were there. The Lord spoke to Gideon. Gideon started out, he had 32,000 men. The Lord spoke to him and he said, "You got too many men." So he told him, he said, "All them that's fearful and afraid, tell them to go home." If our United States Army done that, we'd be in trouble. Amen. I mean, the enemy'd wipe us out, and Brother Randy, there wouldn't be no such thing as freedom. I mean, there wouldn't be no definition for it. It'd just be over. So at that point, 22,000 said, "I'm too scared. I'm going home." They left. Not a word. I mean, there wasn't no corporal punishment for going AWOL. There wasn't no corporal punishment for absent without leave, we say, and nothing. I mean, they just left, went to the house, and then he's left for 10,000. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Man, you still got too many people." Amen. I don't know about you, but if I was a general in that army, I'd be starting to question God at this point. I mean, here I am looking across over there, and I see all that multitude. The Bible explained that they were as the sands of the sea. That's how many was over there. The Midianites was a big army. I mean, there was a crowd of them. It all comes down to finally the Lord said, "Take them down to the river and tell them to get a drink. All them that lap the water like a dog, that's the ones you're going to keep." Now, why in the world that made a difference, I don't know. But that's the way God wanted it. And all through this, Gideon never asked God a question one time. He just went on ahead and done what God said, and winds up with 300 men. Amen. The Lord said, "Now, I don't know, if it would have been me, there would have been some fear in my heart at this point. I'd have been saying, well, I'm not real sure how the end is going to be on this, and we're just going to have to trust God." Verse 9 of chapter 7, we can find that the Lord came to Gideon and began to speak to him. And he said, "Get thee down into the host, I've delivered it into thine hand." But he said, "If you're afraid," he said, "go down with your servant to the host. You're going to hear what they're saying. You're going to hear what they're talking about. After it's all over, you're going to be strengthened." Amen. And so he goes down and he hears them talking. One man's telling another man the story, kind of what he dreamed. And he dreamed this certain dream and he was telling him. And the end result was that they were smashed. A barley loaf of bread come into the camp and smashed them. Amen. And they mentioned Gideon and all that. So Gideon left strengthened, and he left knowing that God was going to help him. So at this point, I believe that 300 men looked like 300,000. Amen. I mean, God knew what he was going to do. So he comes back to the camp and he said, "Here's what we're going to do, men." He said, "We're going to take our pitchers, empty pitchers, we're going to get our lamps and we're going to get our trumpets. And he said, we're going to divide into three companies. And he said, when I do it, you do it. He said, we're going to break the pitchers and hold the lamps up. Amen. And he said, we're going to cry the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Amen. So here they go. They come down to where they are and they begin to compass them. And they've done just exactly as Gideon did. And the Lord just, I don't know what it looked like to the Midianites. I don't know. But we know that they overtook them and the Lord delivered them into their hand. But after all of this fighting, after all this, the Bible said they were faint yet pursuing. Amen. I know that serving God, sometimes we get a little tired. Sometimes we get a little weary. We begin to look around at the things that we see. And sometimes we're satisfied with what we see, and sometimes we're not. I mean, we just look and we say, God, I just wish it could be just a little bit better. I wish it could be just a little bit different than what it is. I really wish that it could be something different. But oh, and I know that it gets tiring. The word faint means likely to fall unconscious, dizzy or weak. A lack of consciousness. That's where we are sometimes today in this hour. It's just a lack of consciousness. Amen. It's a sudden shortness of consciousness. Amen. I mean, we just get to the place where we fought the devil and we fought him and fought him. And we seem like we're overtaken in the battle, and we look around and we say, Lord, I really don't have enough. I really don't have enough help. But what is it that we've got in our hand? Come on here. What is it that we've got in our heart? It's the joy of the Lord. Oh yeah. Is my strength. Amen. If the story would have just stopped right here. If the story would have stopped with the word faint. Well, I'd have never read the rest of that story. I thought, well, they just wore themselves out and that was the end of it. And I kind of could have put the end of the story together and said, well, the Midianites caught them down somewhere in the valley and whooped them all and killed them all, and that would have been the end of the story. But the word yet comes next. Amen. You know what the word yet means? The word yet means at some future time, eventually. Amen. In the time remaining still. In other words, there's still time left. And we might be tired, but we're not going to quit. Amen. Oh, come on here. I know that in the hour you and I live, we're going to get tired. We just are. There's no way about it. And the longer we live, the more tired we're going to be. That's just the way it is. Amen. But chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen here. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Oh, glory. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I'm going to tell you that I know you're going to get tired, but let us not quit. Let us not lay aside and say, I'm going to get tired. I'm just going to sit down a while. We don't have time to sit down. I mean, the enemy's close. He's on our trail. We've already preached those things. But I want you to know at some future time, God is going to deliver us, and He'll do it in His time. I said in His time. I know you're going to get faint. I know you might lose consciousness sound, but keep on pursuing. Amen. Keep on pursuing. Amen. We'll keep on because God has put a drive in us. He's put a zeal in us. That's the problem that some people get in the shape they're in sometimes. They lose that drive. They lose that push. They lose that drawing. They just lose it. I mean, their vision, they just lose it all. And they just begin to wander off track and off course. But oh, let's keep that zeal. Let's keep that urge alive. Let's keep the life in it. Oh yeah. Hey, Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except the Father has sent me. Draw him. Amen. 42nd Psalm, verse 1. David said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Verse 2 said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, come on here. The only way that we're going to keep from being so faint that we quit is thirst after God, is to love after God, is to follow after God and say, hey, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to search after Him. I'm going to stay after Him. Oh, come on here. there was a time when the Ark of the Covenant was put in front of the camp, and they were to follow after it. They were told to go after the Ark. Amen. And you can read in times before, Brother Danny, that the Ark was in the center of the procession as it went down the road. But this particular time, God said, put it in the front and follow after it. Oh, come on here. I mean, the Spirit of God and the presence of God must be in front of us, and we must follow it. Amen. That we faint not. Oh, God, help us here. It's the job of our enemy in services such as these to give us to say, well, I'm just too tired. I don't feel like pushing tonight. You might be the very one that gets it over. Come on here. Let's not get so faint that we quit pursuing. Amen. Amen. The very soul of Christianity is the love and communion with God. That's what keeps that soul alive. That's what keeps the life in it. Amen. Oh, yeah. The battle's hard and it's long. Lots of work. Lots of toil. Lots of things come. Amen. Burdens come and go. Things happen. Sister Horn was talking about her daughter and all the things. And there's nobody can pray for your children like you can. Amen. There's nobody. Do you realize there's nobody that, you know, you can pray for your children? And I said, nobody can do it like you can. But you know, nobody can pray for your church like you can. Hey, come on here. I mean, their daughter's name is Jennifer. I may call her name out, and I may agonize with God for her soul, and I may do it to the best of my ability and really seek God, but I probably won't shed the tears that Mom and Daddy will. Come on here. I mean, I preach, and we evangelize, and we hold revivals. That's what we're doing here. But this is not my home church. I prayed for this revival. I sought God for this revival. I've got a burden for this revival, but I can't carry the burden like you can. This is your home church. I can't build this church like you can. Come on here, oh God. Hey, come on here. I mean, that's what it's going to take, is some people agonizing with God and really seeking God and getting to the place where they say, oh, I'm a little tired. I'm just a little weary, but I'm going to keep on pursuing. I'm going to keep on following because I know after a while, God's going to come by and God's going to bring a victory. God's going to move. God's going to help me. God's going to send revival. God's going to send the glory. God's going to send deliverance. Hallelujah. After a while, it'll all be over. After a while, what's it say? Son. It's going to shine. Whoa. Job said one place, he said, when I lie down, when shall I arise and the night be gone? Oh, God. See, that's when the devil really likes to turn it on, when it's dark and it's lonely and it's the battle's been hard and you're weary. And he likes to turn it on. He likes to bring it on then. He likes to make the times even rougher. Oh, yeah. And the problem is sometimes when we don't follow after God, when we don't seek after Him, and we don't pursue after Him, as they were told to do with the ark. The ark represented the presence of God, so they were told to go after it. And Isaiah 40:4 answers the questions that some people have. They say, why am I fighting such a hard battle? Why am I struggling? Why does this mountain seem longer and seem farther away than the rest? Why does this valley seem so long? Here's the answer. Isaiah 40:4 said, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Amen. Why is it that the rough places are still rough and the crooked places are still crooked? Amen. And the mountains are just like they are, and the valleys are higher than the mountains. Why does it seem that way? Sometimes it's because we're not following God. We're trying to get in front of God. Come on here. I mean, we've got to follow Him and stay after it and as close as we can. Amen. The Bible said that they were hungered, they were faint, but they were yet pursuing.
At some future time, we're going to have a victory. At some future time, we're going to have revival. Hey, come on here. At some future time, God's going to come to the rescue. But I've got to keep pursuing. Amen. Amen. If we're not careful, we begin to get faint. We begin to get slow. We become, as we said the other night, vulnerable. We start putting our hands in things that they don't need to be in. Start doing things we wouldn't normally do. We start going places we normally wouldn't go. We start participating with things that normally we wouldn't participate with. Come on here. Amen. We get faint. We get tired. There's not a sin in getting tired. There's not a sin in becoming faint. But the sin is when we quit. Come on here. That's where the sin is. The sin's when we quit. Amen. Then we become dangerous. Oh, yeah. Amen. Oh, but listen. There's a way that you can become stronger instead of weaker. I like to just grow on and be stronger and stronger and stronger. But that's not the way humanity is. We grow older and older and get weaker and weaker in our bodies. But you don't have to do that with God. Amen. Job 17 and 9 said, "The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger." Amen. There is a way that we can become stronger with God. Hebrews 12 and 14 said, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Hey, come on here. I mean, there is a right way to live. There is a right way to live. There is a right way to follow God. Hey, amen. Come on here. How somebody said, "Well, I go to a church that's got holiness on the door." You might do it. I've seen some Baptist folks that live holiness. Come on here. I mean, I've heard about some Baptist folks that used to live right. Amen. I've got an invitation to preach at a Baptist church right now. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to go if it all works out. I really am. Don't fall out with me here. I mean, I'm going to preach wherever I can preach. I'm going to do what I can do. But listen here. I mean, we're talking about holiness. We're talking about living holy before God and righteous before God. Hey, come on now. Oh, Hebrews 12 and 1. "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Listen here. Listen here. "Let us lay aside every weight." And I've heard this misquoted. Right here. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin." I've heard it said sins. It says the sin that doth so easily beset us. "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Lay aside every weight, every sin, everything that would cause us to become faint. Amen. Oh, yeah. Faint, yet pursuing. Amen. Scientists today have lost God in the midst of their studies. They've totally forgotten about God. At one time, men studied and it was all around God. And now God's nowhere in the mix. He's nowhere in the formula. He has nothing to do with it. Amen. It's just as simple as they wanted to try to find out why the bumblebee flies, Brother Andy. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. He flies. I just don't get in his path because he'll sting you. Man. I mean, I don't care how he flies. He does. And I don't get in his way. But they spent millions and billions of dollars to find out. Try to find out. Because the size of his body and the size of his wings Not supposed to do it. Not supposed to take off. I mean, he probably should crawl on the ground and just have wings for looks, according to them. But the mass of his body, the weight of his body, and the size of his wings, he's not supposed to lift off. So they spent millions of dollars and billions of dollars and spent time and time and time to try to find out why he flies. They never come up with an answer. You know what they finally said? Some of you probably already know. They come up and they said, well, he don't know he's not supposed to fly, so he flies anyway. Well, ain't that just terrific? Hey, man, what do you know about that? Oh, come on here. I could have told them that, and I could have summed it up, and I'd have took their millions of dollars and gave them this answer. God said, fly me, and that's why I fly. I mean, it's all because of God. But we've got to the place that we've taken God out of the chemistry. We've taken God out of the situation, and then we become faint. Then we become weary. Then we become tired. And then we have to go back and find out where God's at. He's right where you left him at.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to confess a little something to you here. Don't none of you young folks get any ideas. Understand? I've done seen how you are. You give me that blank look like me? Yeah. I've seen the paper wads across the restaurant. Amen. Yeah. So, let me confess this to you. I don't like spiders, okay? I just really don't like them. And I know you probably don't care about that. But I'm gonna prove something to you here. I just don't like them. Any size, shape, form, or fashion. Don't like them. I'm a grown man. And I'll run. I will. I'll run. Don't like them. Don't want them around me. And but you know what? There are several spiders that's listed that are the most poisonous in the world. And if they just barely prick you, you'll die. Well, ain't that amazing? Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you what's something even more amazing. A granddaddy long leg. Don't bother me one bit. Ain't that amazing? I mean, if he crawls on me, I just flip him off. And, you know, just flip him off on the ground and throw him off and just get rid of him. That's all I'll do. Don't bother me. But you know what? That those things, if they could ever get them fangs stiff enough to penetrate, they are the most deadly. I've heard that if they can bite you and if they penetrate, which they can't, but if they could, you wouldn't live long enough to suck in the next breath. That's how quick you die. And you think about that just a second. I mean, let's think about that here. We've named all, why is it? Why is it that way? I don't know. I don't understand. It don't make any sense to me. It don't look like he's big enough to pack much of a punch, but he'll kill you. That's the way God designed it. Now, the way God designed it, I don't know. I can't answer that. But the fact is, scientists probably have tried to figure that out too. And they probably say the same thing. He don't know he's deadly, so he don't bite you. I don't know. I mean, that's just the way God fixed it. God prepared it all out. And God made it all that way. I don't have any answers. I can't tell you all those things. I mean, all I know is I'm not going to try to get around any of them, but I want you to understand something here. I mean, God's got his way of figuring it all out. God's got his way of fixing it. It's in his control. And we must understand that. We must understand that. Listen, to find God and continue to follow him is our only hope to a faintless experience. Is to follow God. Oh, come on now. I mean, if you follow God, yeah, you might get a little weary, but there's going to be that urge. There's going to be that zeal that keeps you pulling, keeps you going. Amen. Let us not get to the place that we get so faint that we just quit. That we just quit. Amen. Amen. I might have messed up. I might have messed up with letting loose of some of that information. I might be. We got two more nights of this and I might be in trouble. Amen. I don't know. But you just remember one thing. You just remember one thing. This thing is too close to coming to an end to quit now. Amen. It's too close to the end to quit now.
Amen. You know, I love going to church. I've been in church just about all of my life. And got saved around 5 or 6, somewhere along in there. And that's all I know. And there's been times that we've got tired. Tired and weary. And when you have to miss a service or two or three or four, it seemed like it just, man, you think, oh, how can I stand it? How can I stand missing? How can I just, I mean, I remember one time, I'll tell this and we're going to pray. I remember as a child, I mean, as a young teenager, growing up, mom and dad, of course, dad didn't make a whole lot of money, and we just drove whatever was running and whatever would get us there. This particular time, mom and dad had bought a brand new car, and it had way over 100,000 miles on it, just about wore out, and my dad got hit in the back end and totaled the car, and I wasn't under that pressure. Mom and dad was going, man, what are we going to drive? What are we going to do? Well, my dad saw an old 73 Plymouth Duster sitting on the side of the road, green, ugly, rusted. I mean, the heater didn't work in it or nothing. I mean, when we went to church, we had quilts. And me and my sister in the back seat wrapped quilts around us to go to church. Mom and dad had quilts and in the front. And when the windows steamed up, he's in trouble. Because then you had to roll them down to get them defrosted. And then you got even more cold in the winter. And in the summer, it was just the opposite. I mean, it was bad. All the windows down, forget a hairdo. You just didn't worry about it. You just went to church like you was. I mean, it wasn't no dignifying about it. It's just the way it was. And the back quarter panels was rusted out so bad the fumes come in. So the time we got there, we was about half sick. I mean, but we went to church anyway. And I remember that old car. Something happened to it. I guess it was so rusted out that the gas tank rusted out. Started leaking a bunch of gas, and Dad couldn't afford that to go to do whatever. So he jacked it up and dropped the gas tank and was trying to weld on it and get it fixed. And it was getting close to church time on a Saturday night. And I said, Dad, what are we going to do? He said, oh, I'm going to get it. We're going to try to get it here. We're going to try to do what we can here. Just bear with me. What can I do to help? Stay out of my way. That's what he said. Just get out of my way. Leave me alone. I'm going to get it here. So I'd run along and play and do whatever and come back. I'd come back probably 15 minutes later. Dad, we're going to get it. Just leave me alone. I'm going to get it here. I was worried I wasn't going to get to go to church. I said, Dad, you've got to get this back together. We've got to go to church. Man, I wouldn't leave him alone. Man, it got close to church time and I looked and he still didn't have that thing put back together, much less gas in it. I was disheartened. I said, Dad, you ain't going to get it, are you? No, he said, matter of fact, I'm going to quit right now. I said, oh, Dad, come on. We got to go to church. He said, oh, you're going. I said, well, how am I going to get there? He said, don't worry about it. I done made the way. I done made a phone call. Somebody going to come pick you up. You're going to church. Man, I was never so excited. I mean, not only did I not have to ride in that fumigated, freezing cold car, but I got to go to church. Amen. I didn't have to worry about wrapping up the quilt. I mean, my aunt's car had a heater in it. Amen. It wasn't rusted out and didn't fume to death. Amen. It was going to be a nice ride, and I got to go to church too. I mean, hey, there's going to be hard times. I know in this day and hour, it may not be like that. Things are just a little different. They build cars better for one thing, and sometimes they do, but I mean, they don't rust out that bad, and first one thing and another, but sometimes it's a little better, a little easier, and times are somewhat a little smoother, but listen, there's other things that'll cause you, the devil will try to cause you not to be able to come to the house of God, and several times of that, you become weary, you become faint, but oh, come on here, say, devil, I'm going to go no matter what. I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep it traveling. I'm going to make it to glory one of these days. Come on here. Stand if you will. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to keep that zeal, that determination, that fire in our soul to go. Amen. To go. Amen. Amen. I love God tonight. He's so wonderful. So great. He's a good God. He'll never fail. Sometimes it looks like He's not listening. Sounds like He's not listening, not looking our way. But He is. Was it 21 days Daniel prayed? Finally got an answer. And when the messenger came, he said, "Heard you the first time." Somewhere along the way, I got hindered. Can you imagine that battle taking place and not being able to see it, but still waiting for the answer? It was on its way to where he was. But somewhere the devil got in the mix there and hindered it. The answer still came. It still came. Faint, yet pursuing. Go on. Go on. Go on. You get tired, you get weary. Go on.